We're thankful for the first responders that are ministering to those that are in need right now. They are putting themselves in the natural in danger while ministering to others. And at times like this, we need to celebrate them and thank God for them. Every ministry out there, whether it's in the hospital or in the place of governance or in the church, thank God for everyone. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, this morning I have much in my spirit to share with us. A few days ago, the Lord asked me a very important question that I had not thought about. And got me thinking. And I was glad to hear his response to it. So at some point during this service, I will address certain things. Not everything I'm going to say today is going to be politically correct. And some of it may not be in the minds of some quote-unquote spiritual people nice to say. But I assure you that everything that I'm going to talk about will be founded in the word of the Lord. Amen? And it is important to live in truth, not in guile, false truth. We live in a world where we talk about my truth, your truth, and my truth and your truth may not line up. Well, it is not so with God. God's truth is God's truth. There's one way, there's one truth, there's one life. Amen? And so some things are going to be encouraging and some things are not going to be very encouraging because they should not be encouraging. Praise the Lord. Not every time the word of God is spoken that it causes you to have butterflies of joy in your heart. Sometimes the word of God can cut. Because it needs to accomplish a purpose. If you had a heart problem, somebody's going to have to cut you to address that heart situation if they're doing surgery, right? Okay. You know, if you've got something stuck in your palms, a piece of wood, some splinter or something, you know, you might need to cut to get it out. It's painful. Sometimes the pain is much, but it's for good. Amen? Now, some of the things I'm going to talk about today are going to be for saints, and some will be for the world. And then one segment is going to be about what our role is to be, because we are in the world, even though we are not of this world. I'm just laying a groundwork so that as I go from place to place, you can plug, okay, this belongs to that, and this belongs to that, and this belongs here. Amen? Praise God. Awesome. Last week, I talked to us about addressing the roots of fear. We looked at Psalm 91 very closely. And as we looked at Psalm 91, which is a passage of scripture that's quoted all over the world today, everybody's quoting Psalm 91. And, well, some of the things I talked about while they were encouraging did not address some other issues. In the fact that it addressed the fact that Psalm 91, as much as you want to quote it, only applies to certain people. And the certain people are those who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. That if you're not dwelling, then that psalm is not covering you. no matter how many times you quote it. And so I explained what dwelling in the presence of the Lord in that shadow was, that dwelling had to do with the walk of love, because the only way God dwells with us and we dwell with God is when we are walking in love. Love for God, love for ourselves, and love for each other. And if you are not walking in love, then don't be quoting Psalm 91 and think it's going to work for you, because it's not. You may not like it, but that's the truth. Amen? So, we need to align ourselves. If God is calling us to a place of responding to that key element, Psalm 91 and verse 1, I want to look at it real quickly. Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth, not visited, he that dwells, abides in the secret place of the Most High, abides under the shadow, the covering of the Almighty. But you've got to dwell in the secret place. That secret place is the place of God's presence. Amen? We talked about that last Sunday. The place of His presence. That's the secret place of God. And we talked about the fact that that secret place, when you understand the secret place be as being the presence of God, then you understand that your secret life and your public life has to be aligned with the will of God. That whatever it is that you say and do in secret, you can say and do publicly to the glory of God in an honorable way, and you have the license to do or say. Praise the Lord. So when you dwell in that secret place, then you get to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we talked about the fact that that dwelling is in the walk of love, 1 John chapter 4. And I might look at that somewhat. Now, in addressing that, we talked about the fact that we must not live in the where, in the place or the realm of fear. Fear is not allowed in any way, shape, or form in any area of your life. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Job chapter 3 and verse 25. This is very important. This is extremely important, because fear is a magnet. Say it with me, fear is a magnet. Fear will pull to you what you are afraid of. Job says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me." What was he afraid of? His children are going to curse God and die. He was afraid of death. That they were going to do something and the end result was going to be death. And he says with his mouth, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." If you are afraid of coronavirus, it's going to come to you. You must not live in fear. Not when you are under the protection of God. Amen? Act wisely. Be hygienic. And hygiene is a good thing. You don't have to be sick or be afraid of being sick to be hygienic. Praise the Lord. God teaches us about cleanliness. It talks about cleaning your hands and not touching dead things and so on and so forth. We were already taught by the Word of God how to stay clean. Praise the Lord. So be clean. Be wise. But don't be afraid. Because fear, the Word of God tells us, has torment. That word torment also means judgment or punishment. And that is not what we will embrace as the people of God. Never. That means you need to listen to the news for information, but not to inhabit fear. Know what's happening in the world and know how to pray, but not to be afraid. Nothing is going to happen to you. You're a child of God. Amen? You're walking in love, and therefore God's word says, He has not given to us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God has not given to me, nor to you, the spirit of fear. Say with me, God has not given me the spirit of fear. Therefore, I have no reason to be afraid. Hallelujah. God has not given me the spirit of fear. He has not given to me the spirit of fear. But what has He given to me? He has given to me the spirit of power, a dynamic power. He has given me the spirit of His love, His agape love. And He's given to me a sound mind. Praise the Lord. He has given me what? A sound mind. He's given me power. He has given me love. And He has given me the spirit of a sound mind. Now, what is this sound mind? It is a disciplined mind. Someone say disciplined mind. It is a self-controlled mind. Amen? That means that it is a mind that controls what it thinks, what it accepts, it is a mind that is wise. Amen? The word sophronismos has in its base, in its root, the word wisdom, Sophia. Amen? So a sound mind is a wise mind. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God has given me a spirit that is powerful, a spirit that is loving, and a spirit that is disciplined, wise. It controls whatever it is going to allow in. Praise the Lord. That's the spirit God has given to you. What He has not given to you is the spirit of fear. Therefore, you have no reason to accept fear, no matter where it comes from. The propagator of fear is the devil. And when fear takes root, you lose your mind. Listen, when fear takes root, you lose your mind. You lose the ability to think rationally. You begin to act foolishly. And the Bible says it is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. And when you act like there is no God, you live in fear. And a person who acts like there is no God is a person who acts like there is no love. For God is love. Amen? When you know that God loves you, you have no reason to be afraid. You find security in the presence of God. In the presence of God, there's joy forever. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. I am leading towards a particular aspect. Now I'm talking mostly to believers right now. The Word of God says there is no fear in love, or there is no fear in God. So when you are in God, there is no fear in you. Jesus said the enemy is coming and he has nothing in me. Hallelujah. He has nothing in me. In other words, there's no fear here. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The first presence of fear was the presence of the manifestation of sin. When man got afraid, it was because he was in sin. And he was in sin because he knew that he had contravened and gone against what God's word said. Now, when you are in agreement with the word of God, you cannot be afraid. Therefore, I must always be in agreement with the word of God. And being in agreement with the word of God means that I confess the word of God. Saying the same thing is what confession is. Hallelujah. So we are going to say what God said. No weapons formed against me can in any way prosper. Is that not true? Let's look at that for a moment. I'll come back to 1 John 4:18 in a moment. But let's go to Isaiah 54 and verse 17 and look at it just for a quick moment. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. The word of God says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper or succeed. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt what? Condemn. So you condemn it. Any tongue, anything, you condemn it. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their what? Righteousness is of me, said the Lord. Their righteousness is of me. So this is the time for you and I to take hold of the word of God that says that he has given to us the gift of righteousness. Amen. Hello? Is somebody listening? Yes. God has given to me the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is not something I earned. Righteousness is something God gave to me as a gift. Just like God gave to me the gift of salvation, God has given to me the gift of righteousness. And says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When I'm in Christ, I am abiding in God. Therefore, I have the righteousness of God. And because I have the righteousness of God, I have the right to declare judgment on anything that tries to contravene or come against God's word concerning me. It is not my righteousness I'm working with. I'm working with the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Someone say, I am righteous. Because the righteous one lives in me. Amen. He abides in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love, casts out fear. And one of the things we talked about last Sunday was this, that it is not your prayer that's going to cast out fear. It is not your much fasting that's going to cast out fear. And in fact, it is not your proclaiming and confessing the word of God that casts out fear. It is perfect love. Perfect love. You knowing that God loves you, and you love God, and you love yourself, and you love other people. That love is what casts out fear. I shall not die, but live and testify of the goodness of the Lord. Because the Lord has need of me. Amen? The Lord has need of me to do what? To preach the gospel. I cannot get out. I cannot check out. I'm here to be the voice of God, the oracle of God to those who do not know God. Therefore, I must live and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody shout hallelujah. Therefore, because I know God loves me and I love God and I love people, I must be the voice of God. Therefore, fear must vamoose. Amen. Get out. I'm not checking out. I'm going to live and testify of the goodness of the Lord. When I'm 120, I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And when I'm 160, I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the name of Jesus Christ, my voice shall be strong. Glory be to God. Because of the word of God. It says, because fear hath torment. Now, if fear hath torment, then torment is not in God. He that feareth is not. He that feareth is not. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, is not mature in love. Now, how do I get mature in love? That becomes the key factor. If I need to be perfect and made perfect or mature in love so that I am not afraid, then there must be a way for me to be made perfect in love. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 says this. 1 John 2 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word. Whoso keepeth his word. In him verily is the love of God what? Perfected. If you keep the word of God, then the love of God will be perfected in you. Hereby know we that we are in Him, when we are perfected in love because we keep the word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free when you continue in the word of God, when you keep the word of God, when you hold on to the commandments of God. And the commandment of God is love. When you keep that word, then you have no reason to be in a state of imperfection or immaturity in the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm made perfect in love. I'm made perfect in God. And therefore, fear is cast out. Praise the Lord. Come with me to the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. The word of God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusted in thee. When you place your trust in God, God will keep you in perfect peace. You will not be in a state of peace when your mind is not stayed on him, when you are not trusting in him. Your mind is stayed on him because you trust in him. You are not wavering. You're not going to and fro. Oh, I believe in God. Oh, what if? There are no what ifs. Amen? You stick with the program and you stick it. Glory be to God. And God will keep you in perfect peace. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 112, verse 7 and 8, Psalm 112, verse 7 through 8, we read these words. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, bad news. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The reason I need not be afraid of any plague, pestilence, viruses, whatever, is because my mind, my heart is fixed on the Lord. Fixed how? Because I am trusting in the Lord. And verse 8 says, his heart is established. His heart is established. The word of God says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in God means I get established. My heart is established because I believe God. He shall not be afraid because he's established, because he believes in God. Until he see his desire upon his enemies. What desire? The defeat of coronavirus and every other virus, the defeat of poverty and lack, the defeat of sickness and disease, the defeat of everything that is contrary to God's perfect will for my life. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you're living in fear, sorry, what you're afraid of will come to you. Somebody listening? I say, if you living in fear, what you are afraid of will hump on you. It will jump on you. It will stick with you because your faith is not in God. Let me tell you something. Common sense is not God's sense. Let me say it again. Common sense is not God's sense. God's sense is faith sense. Common sense will keep you in fear. Because common sense is what operates in the natural realm. Common sense ends up not being good sense. Common sense can get you in trouble. Let common sense work where it needs to work. But let God's sense work everywhere in your life. Amen? Don't be afraid, because what you're afraid of will come to you. You will draw it. It will come to you. It's a magnet. You create an attraction. It's like a dog. If a dog senses fear in you, it will attack you. Fear is a magnet. You know, a few years ago, Mom and I were flying from somewhere, and I don't know where we're coming from, but she says to me, says, wow, there's a location for fear. I said, what are you talking about? She says, it's right here. I said, huh? She was watching a documentary, and in this documentary, it was this deep divers, they were swimming with sharks. And they put a shield, some kind of a thing, to protect the energy that was coming out of them from going out. And they were there, and they could play with these sharks because there was nothing going out, and the sharks could not attack them. But as soon as they took that thing off and fear was there, there it was. It was coming to attack. Put it on. No attack. Fear will attract danger, disaster. Don't buy into it. Don't care who the expert is. Don't buy. It is true, that will happen, but that's not my portion. Amen? I'm under the covering of the living God. Amen? One of the things the Lord spoke to us about concerning this year was that it was going to be a year of separation. Goshen and Egypt. Now, there is going to be a separation if, depending on whether you stay under the blood, whether you stay under the covenant of God. If you're not staying under the covering, sorry, nobody can help you. I'm talking to believers now. Amen? Hallelujah? 1,000 shall fall on your left and 10,000 on your right, but it shall not come nigh thee. Praise the Lord. We live in a world that is full of so many dangerous things. If you live in fear, you will not come out of your house. I tell you that. If I go out right now and I start showing you all kinds of dangerous things that are around, even on your cell phone, you will not touch that cell phone. You say, "Hey!" But because you don't have fear, that thing doesn't have power over you. As soon as you start thinking fear, it starts to manifest itself. You cannot afford to embrace fear. Amen? But there's going to be a separation. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 23. Come with me there real quickly. Exodus 8 and verse 23. My time is quickly going off on me. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 23. God says, "And I will put a division between my people and thy people." God said that. So I'm going to put a division between my people and thy people. The word of God, if my people who are called by my name, I am the people of God. Hallelujah. I'm on the God side. God says, I'm going to put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. The sign of separation. The sign of separation. Let me just drop something here. The question the Lord asked me was, who created the virus? I said, God. He says, has anyone asked me why I created viruses? I say, oops, no. Do you want to know why I created viruses? I said, I think so. What is the purpose of things? If you don't know what is happening in your world, then you and I will be praying the wrong prayers. What I need to do is to determine what is God trying to force me to think about. Because he's trying to force the world to think certain things. A world that does not have honor or respect or have a fear of God, no reverence for God, needs to be shaken up so that they understand that they are not all that. Man thinks, we are all that. I can do whatever it is I want to do, anyhow I want to do it. And God says, really? You think? You really think so? COVID, where art thou? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Ah! Fine. The financial system. Entertainment. Sports. Everything that we've made God. In one quick moment, the word of the Lord is, this is a warning. This is brief. This is not it. This is a warning to the world to understand that God is merciful, long-suffering, and kind, but he's got a big stick. We need to repent. It's not about rebuking COVID-19 or anything else. Oh, there's a place for that. When we have repented, we can rebuke. No repentance, rebuke all you want, and COVID will come visit you. Repent. Amen? But God says, I'm going to put a separation. Now, you know, some smart aleck is going to be out there and say, well, that's what God said for those Jews and the Israelites in Egypt. There's something called precedence. Amen? Precedence. We use it in law. Precedence. There are things God stated to teach us. His word says that. These scriptures are written so that you can learn from them. It's there to teach you patterns that have taken place so that you learn from your history. Are people who do not learn from history are people that will repeat the same dangerous stuff and destroy themselves. If you see a big, big hole and you see cars driving and they fall in there, and another one comes and falls in there, and you still speed in knowing that all these cars are falling in there, thinking that you are not going to fall in there, God help you. I don't know which God that is that's going to help you. He's already told you. There's all kinds of signs on the highways. Big dish. It can swallow everything you got. Don't go there. But you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You'll find out. I was in India many years ago ministering in an area called Orissa. And while I was ministering there, the power of God was moving mightily. And one day God spoke to me and says, I don't want you in the crusade grounds today. I said, why not? He said, because there are people sent out to kill you. So don't go there. Guess what I didn't do? I didn't go there. I wasn't going to find out whether it was going to be true or not. Because by the time you find out whether it's true, you'll be dead. Too late. So I followed. I said, God, what do you want me to do? He instructed me on what to do. He said, go into the country. I have places where you're going to minister today. And I went out around 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. I went from one community to another. And there are churches that stayed open because God also spoke to them that I was coming, that he was sending somebody to come to them. And I ministered in 3, 4 churches out there because God was in charge. A few months later, there were some missionaries that were in that same area where I was ministering. They got beheaded. They got killed. And the man of God who invited me, who I told, I cannot go there because God said. He said, but there are people waiting for you there. God is doing great miracles. You got to come. You got to do. There are people coming. I said, I don't care. God said. Praise the Lord. He called me later and said, oh, you're a real man of God. I said, you just found out. Why are you saying that? You're a man of God. He said, some missionaries just got beheaded. And I said, well, praise God. I escaped that. Hallelujah. God says, I'm going to create a division. Exodus 9 and verse 4. Exodus 9 and verse 4. I better move on. Exodus 9 and verse 4. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. That's your finances, your financial system. I'm going to separate between your cattle, the cattle of Israel, and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. Not one cattle is going to die in the camp of the Israelites, but all of your cattle over here, they're dead. Because I'm going to put a division. God said that. Amen? Hallelujah? Someone say, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Exodus 12 and verse 13. He says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood. Now, the word of God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah? When he gave his, when the word of God says gave his only begotten son, it's talking about his son shedding his blood. Amen? Okay. So God says, this is a precursor, this is a type of that. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Egypt representing the world. Praise the Lord. And the next verse says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Amen? Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Beginning to read from verse 10. Malachi 3 and verse 10. I'm going to read quickly these next few verses because God wants you and I to understand that it is not vain to worship him. The people, the Israelites, I did share a message about the giving that brings about change or true prosperity. And I said to us that it is a giving that is based on agreeing with God concerning what is important to him, which is souls. Now, when we sow into souls, we get a result. When you sow for material things, that is not God. Amen? Because when you read in Malachi, it says that the people gave much, but got nothing out of it. They gave much, but got nothing out of it. But now we come here to Malachi 3:10. And this is what the word of God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, honor me with your giving, and see if I'm not going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and you're not going to have room enough to keep it. Amen? All right. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. For your sakes. My sons and my daughters that are honoring me in their giving. I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 12. And all nations shall call you what? Blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. All nations, everybody's going to call you blessed. Verse 13. Your words, God now says, he says, your words have been stout against me. You've been speaking against me, said the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Verse 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What profit is it that we have kept his word? And that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Well, God doesn't want you walking mournfully before him. That's their beef. That's their issue. God wants you to be joyful in his presence. Amen? But they're pointing out to God and says, what is the gain? What have we gained serving you? Verse 15. And now we call the proud what? Is that what we do? We call those who are arrogant, who are doing crazy stuff out there, we're calling them happy. Yea, that work wickedness are set up. Those that are going contrary to the will of God, the word of God, they are in the high positions of authority, and it looks like those who are serving God are way, 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 way down. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Don't tell me that you've not been thinking like that. Because the average person is thinking, how come these guys get away with murder? We're in a world where we're talking nowadays about two tiers of justice. There's justice for the rich and famous, and justice for the down and outer. Well, it's not new. The wicked, those who are tempting God, are delivered. They're, you know, they've taken the rainbow of God and made it their flag. We have dared to kill babies, and it is a good thing. You know, it's amazing to me. People, they're spending all kinds of crazy money and trying to do everything to live, but they will kill the child that's in the womb. Why are people so afraid to die? If you know God, why are you so afraid to die? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have no reason to be afraid of death. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Amen? The wicked are set up. The proud, we've called them happy. Verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord, then they that feared the Lord, then they that have reverence for the Lord, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. They that had a fear, a reverence for God, spake one to another, just like we're speaking one to the other right now, and saying, we are the people of God. We live for God. Not the people who are pointing and saying, well, those people, they are doing better. No, no, no. We don't have any situation here where we are serving the systems of the world. We are the people of God. We have a reverence for God. We honor God, and we respect everything God says, and we continue with the word of God. He says, they, the ones that feared the Lord, he says, they spoke to the Lord. He says, and the Lord hearkened. He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. Wait a minute. What is the book of remembrance? God tells us in Acts, concerning Cornelius, he was a giver. The time for you to give like you've never given before is now. Because God opens a book of remembrance for you that fear the Lord, and God hears you. He hears you through your giving. Actually, last Friday, during the prayer service, we talked about the fact that your prayer and your giving are equivalent before God. Because he says, my house is to be the house of prayer. But he also says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 that his house is a house for sacrifice, for giving. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I believe 3 or 4 times the people kept on bringing and giving and giving and giving. If I did a service like that and 3 times you came and gave, you say, all that pastor wants is my money. I know it. But God says, no, that's how I get to hear you. That's how I get to hear you. He wrote a book of remembrance. Remember we started with tithing. And now we've come to the book of remembrance. And there's a book of memorial that Cornelius has. Amen? Was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, that focused on his name. A book of remembrance was written from them. What is your first thought? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. It says, don't worry about this and worry about that. It says, God knows the hair that's on your head. He has every one of them numbered. He knows the number 2006. And he knows the one that is number 2005. And he knows the one that is number 100. So when number 99 drops, God knows number 99 fell off. Hallelujah. He knows every one of them is numbered. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. And they shall be mine. They shall be mine. Who are these? The ones that he's written a book, a memorial, a book of remembrance on. They shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. This is God making a difference. Amen? He said, I'm going to spare them. Verse 18, watch this. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Praise the Lord. How? Through your giving. He said, you think they are getting ahead. You think they, yeah. They're getting ahead. They have been set up. But you're going to see that I'm the God who makes the difference. Amen? You're going to see it. It's going to be obvious. There will be a demarcation. Praise the Lord. Do you receive that word? Someone say, I'm on the Lord's side. And the Lord is on my side. Amen. Romans 9 and verse 28. God says, you know, one of the things the Lord said to me, he says, this crisis is going to be gone just as quickly, as suddenly as it came. It's going to leave. Amen? It's a brief thing. This is not a permanent thing. But what he did say to me was that there was something else coming. If we don't learn from this, there's something coming that will crush people. Amen? And the one thing, hear me, those that are here and those that are listening online, the one thing the Lord made very clear is that we must not make the mistake of thinking that we have the ability to confront and defeat this virus and place the honor of victory on ourselves. Thinking, we are Canadians, we're tough, we're going to defeat this thing. We are Americans, we are tough, we're going to defeat this thing. God says, that'll be a serious mistake. Because you've not learned the lesson of repenting and coming to God and saying, God, we have erred in our ways. Those who learn that lesson will be saved. Those who refuse to learn that lesson will experience great pain. Please hear me. God says, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. He is going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Amen? This is going to be short. It's not going to last forever. But there is something that is coming. Whether it is by man, by our erroneous ways or whatever, something is coming that is going to be so devastating that nobody will be able to stand except for those who have the covering of the Most High God. So stay under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? Hallelujah? If you believe the word of God, that he's a God who's going to create a separation, stay on God's side. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 3. I have to say this. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16. It says, and came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. That's why the warning, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And today I wash my hands clean. Amen. I shall not have the fear of man to not speak the truth. Amen? I'd rather be afraid of God than man. Amen? Hallelujah. So, he says, I want you to send them a warning. Why? So that they can repent. So their lives can be saved. That's why. But what do we find in scriptures, though? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 21. Revelation 2 and 21. Revelation 2 and 21. Word of God says, and I gave her space. And this is what God is doing. He says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she what? Repented not. So there are going to be people who could care less. They just think that they are invisible and that this is just natural and so on and so forth. Yes, 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 yes. But the God who created viruses to cause you to pay attention. Pay attention. Amen? Revelation 16, verse 9. Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They repented not. 10. Revelation 16 and verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, And his kingdom was full of darkness and ignored their tongues for pain. And verse 11. And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And what? Repented not of their deeds. They repented not. All these things, you know, because, well, we got so much. Got so much power. God says, he did it to warn them. He gave them a space to repent. He did all of this, but they still will not change. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 to 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. And verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They did not repent. So what do we do? Let me do one more verse and then I will share what we are called to do. I've talked about believers. I've talked about the world. And I'm going to hone in just a moment on what we as believers need to do, because we are here to be intercessors. Amen? There's got to be a way for us to pray. Amen? Isaiah 26. I know I've taken much time this morning, but this is so important that you need to hear it. Isaiah 26, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9 through 21. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will what? Learn righteousness. This is what God wants men to learn, righteousness. And there are going to be people who learn righteousness through all of this. There are going to be people who come to God and say, God, I repent. I've built my kingdom and I saw it crumble right before me. And I understood that life is not about this stuff. There's more to life than this stuff. And there are people who are going to come to God through all of this. Amen? Verse 10. Let favor be showed to the wicked. This is God's will. He said, let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In other words, God says, I'm going to bring judgment, but I'm going to hold it back and see what they're going to do. Now, we've already learned that they did not repent. But he will give man the opportunity. Just in case one person is going to turn around. Just in case two will turn around. Just in case three will turn around. Just in case five will turn around. Just in case, because one soul saved is greater than the whole world. What shall the man gain if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? One soul is more important than the whole world. So anything God will do, he will do to make sure he gets somebody out. Amen? He says, in the land, he says, let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Verse 11, Lord, when thy hands is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. 12, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Thou hast wrought all thy works in us. O Lord our God, other lords society have had dominion over us. Other people have dominion over us. They've controlled our lives for so long. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Amen? They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Are you with me? Verse 15. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. 16. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. There are going to be people who are going to pray, but not all. Amen? 17. Like as a woman with child, thou draweth near the time of our delivery, is in pain and crieth out in our pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. 18. We have been with child. We've been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. 19. Thy dead man shall live. Together with thy dead body shall they rise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Praise the Lord. 20. Come, my people. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. Now, this is a practice run. You listening? This is a practice run. Something bigger is coming. And we cannot afford. There's going to be a time when you are going to have to shut in. Just stay away. Now, when you shut yourself and everybody shuts themselves up, where are you going to buy your groceries? Who's going to deliver it? They shut in. Nobody can move. That is a worse situation. And that's coming. If we don't handle this one well and repent, it's coming. And now, child of God, this is the time for you to believe God, that he's a God who multiplies your little and makes it much. You are going to be forced to believe God, and you better start believing God now. Amen? Start believing God now. Because he's still a God who increases the flour and the oil so that you can go through the famine, go through the hard times, like nothing happened. He's still the God, and this might sound crazy to some, he's still the God. If hydro shuts off because nobody can function, your cooking stuff will work supernaturally. Hello. I have seen it work. I have lived it. So when I talk about it, I'm not talking in foolishness. I'm not in some la-la land. I've driven a car on empty gas tank for a whole week on empty, an hour each way. God did that. So I know it works. I'm the one God has taken shopping, and I've bought a white suit in a place where they don't sell white suits. I've seen God. I've experienced God. I know this is so. And I'm saying, ride with God. Don't place your faith in the systems of this world, because the systems of this world will fail you. Hello? Please. Please. There's going to be a time nobody can come help you. You're shut off in your house. That's when you need to know that the God who is God is your God. Amen? So just zone me for a brief moment. Sit there for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place. The Lord himself comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. For what? For their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood. All the death that we've generated through abortions and every nonsense that we've done, and shall no more cover her slain. Everything's going to come up. We need to be very careful. Human race, earthlings. Change, please. Every one of us. We need to repent. We've blown it megaly. But thank God for his people. Have you ever thought, why does God save me and keep me here? Why didn't he save me and I just go to heaven right away? Everybody, you know, you get saved, boom, you go. You get saved, you go. You get saved, you go. You just read the Bible. Just leave the Bible alone. We read the Bible, we see, find it, boom, saved, gone. Why am I here? Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. So we begin to wrap for now. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, which people? My people. If the world? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. The role that we play as the people of God is to humbly come in prayer, seeking God's face and turning from our wicked ways. And for us, our wicked ways is our focus on ourselves. I'm saved, praise God, and not sharing the gospel. That's our wicked way. More than anything else, that's our wicked way. We need to share the gospel. We need to invest in souls. We need to do our best to see that others hear this message of the gospel so that they can also turn from their wicked ways. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't say much about the virus. Other than this, the virus is a way of bringing people to a place where they have to face up with the reality of life. Now understand that the virus is so minute. It's smaller than, you know, we have good bacteria and bad bacteria. Yeah? There's really no good virus and bad virus. There's only bad virus. But bad virus can do good. Let me say it again. Bad virus can do good. There's no good virus, bad virus. Just like you have good bacteria, bad bacteria. You have only virus that is bad. And it's the smallest thing. You cannot even just see it in a regular microscope. You understand? It's an invisible entity. And you know what? It doesn't have life. It doesn't have a nucleus. It doesn't have the ability to live by itself. It only lives in a host. That is a conducive atmosphere. And in that host helps it reproduce. You with me? So it doesn't have a nucleus that splits and multiplies that way. You, the cell that it came into, you are the one that causes it to multiply. Are you with me? Okay. So this next thing I'm going to say to you is going to be of utmost importance. There's a simple prayer the Lord placed in my spirit for every one of us. Amen? So I would like you to repeat these words with me. Say with me, my body is not conducive for the production of viruses. In Jesus' name, amen. Because your body has to be conducive. The cells in your body have to be conducive for it to keep on multiplying. So we are declare over you that nothing in you, spirit, soul, and body, will make it conducive for viruses to multiply itself. Because once viruses begin to multiply, it begins to connect with everything that you are connected to. It connects with the system. No virus is here. Amen? Hallelujah? COVID is banished. Praise the Lord. COVID-19 is not here. And the cell that it operates with, that it will work perfectly with, is the spirit of fear. We don't have that. Anybody here with the spirit of fear? Praise God. We have God. We have His love. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust that somehow, some way, I communicated what God wants to communicate to us this morning. And that you are established in His love. You know what you as a believer should know. You know what is going to happen with the world that doesn't change, and your role in agreement with God to see as many who are on that side come to the God side. Amen? Use this opportunity to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.